Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Thrilled, delighted, excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. We have so much to get into in today's show. We are going to start today's show a little bit different. We are going to start with the Royals, but we will not have a random lineup today. We'll explain more about that coming up in a bit. Vern is going to join us on the show. Always happy to catch up with Josh Vernier. We are living in some kind of bizarro world. I'll explain that to you as the show continues to go on. We have our final update of the week on what's happening in New Orleans with the escaped inmates. We'll get to that. There's so much for us to talk about. But before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And you know what? I need you to tell one friend about the show this holiday weekend. No, you know what? I'm going to challenge you, and I want you to tell two people to check out the show this holiday weekend. You even got extra bonus time to do so. You know what? I would appreciate that greatly if you did it. Now, I told you guys that we are going to start today's show a little bit different than how we usually start today's show, and we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. I am here to tell you that, my dear brothers and sisters, we have seen a lot of failed free agent contracts and deals. I'm old enough to remember when Kendrell Bell was coming into town. Ty Law. We can go up and down the list of players who came into Kansas City, got a little bit of money, Juan Gonzalez, Jose Guillen, and we were excited about them. Only for them to flee off in the middle of the night like a legalized bank robber. I am telling you that right now on that list, on that top 10 most wanted list, Hunter Renfro's name is there. Almost from the moment he arrived, he started planning a legendary heist. In fact, today, John Sherman and the ownership group for the Kansas City Royals, they have committed $7.5 million for Hunter Renfro to not play for the Royals. He should be paying us back for watching him play for the Kansas City Royals. Can we go through his stats really quickly? Now, I'm not happy that somebody lost their job, but when you get a $7.5 million severance pay, it's hard for me to feel too much empathy for your situation. You know what? In fact, I know we got a long weekend. Why don't you take beyond Monday off? In his 1.5 years in Kansas City, he had a -1.5 war, -1.5. He hit .219 with a .286 on base percentage in 155 games and 532 plate appearances. Hunter Renfro hit 15 home runs with 56 RBIs. He struck out 105 times in his 484 at-bats. I am here to tell you fine people, good riddance, that if the Royals were serious about improving their offense as we head into the second phase of the season, number one is get to Memorial Day. The Royals are going to be over 500 on Memorial Day. Congratulations. Now is step two. What do we need to do to get to the trade deadline and to put ourselves in a position where we are going to be buyers, where we want to add talent to our team? And what you could no longer afford to do is continue to give at-bats to Hunter Renfro. You've given him more than enough this season. He has 108 plate appearances. He has 99 ABs. He's hitting .182 with no pop, and he's playing FIFA in right field. No. You can't do this anymore. This ends today. So I want to give John Sherman and his staff credit for seeing what the rest of us saw for months with Hunter Renfro. if you're serious about turning your offense around, he cannot be a part of it. You guys took a swing. You missed. That's baseball. But now it's time to move in a different direction. So whether that's Lofton, whether that's Rave, whether that's you going out and making a deal, making a move, whatever it needs to be, he is part of the problem. He was never going to be part of the solution for the Royals offense. I noticed this. You noticed this. They noticed this. And now we have moved on from Hunter Renfroe. We will talk about the Royals. Vern's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on Hunter Renfroe's time in Kansas City, why the Royals made this decision today, and what is the next step for the Royals as they try to get their offense back on track. They got an important series this weekend in the American League Central up against the Minnesota Twins. You can hear that right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is where usually we would give you guys a random lineup. I don't want to do that right now. We might give you one before the week is over, but I want to do something drastically different. So I told Rob to make a list. We used to have lists back in the day. I asked him to dust off that bit. I asked him to give us the five worst Royals contracts over the last 20 years or so. I'm talking about back to the Allard Barrett days. I'm talking early Dayton Moore days. I asked him to give us his five worst contracts because I was curious if Hunter Renfroe was going to make this list. So, Rob, we are not going to go back to the 2001 Kansas City Royals. We are doing a different list today. Hit me.
Baseball with the Royals is unique to the lineup. So we got a different song. Carrington, I made a starting nine. I went above and beyond the expectation of 2000 and now. Worst contracts doled out by the Kansas City Royals. Let's go around the horn and start behind the plate with Benito Santiago.
I can't be mad at that at all.
At first base, Lucas Duda. Do you remember when the Royals signed him in 2019 and they thought he would be part of the solution to fill in for Hosmer at first? He wasn't. At second base, might be controversial, Omar Infante.
I don't think Omar Infante is that controversial to be on this list. Omar Infante definitely came in here, got a little quick bag with the Royals, and then got out of here. I mean, he signed a four-year, $30.25 million deal with the Royals and got cut in the middle of it. So, no, Omar Infante is definitely worthy of being on this list.
I mean, I know he was almost an all-star, so I thought he was in questionable territory.
I'm not going to argue that.
At third base, another Hunter. Hunter Dozier, the third baseman. There was glimmers of hope. He got a big contract, and then I don't know what he's doing now, except for the Royals. He was out of baseball. That was a bad deal for the Kansas City Royals.
They gave him $25 million guaranteed with a club option. Hunter Dozier came in and honestly made real quick work.
At shortstop, Unieski Betancourt.
Uni!
He had an on-base percentage the same as me and you. He couldn't get on base to save his life, and he was basically blocking Alcides Escobar for multiple years. Yeah. Not that Escobar is Derek Jeter reincarnate, but Escobar was bad. Heading to the outfield, the aforementioned Hunter Renfroe is going to be out there.
Of course, definitely. You know what? Hunter Renfroe, he might honestly be hitting third in this lineup.
Oh, I don't even think he's the worst contract in the outfield because standing next to him is Juan Gonzalez.
Oh, that's the worst contract the Royals have given out in my lifetime. Him and Jose Guillen, 1-2.
Speaking of Jose Guillen, in the outfield, Jose Guillen. Jose Guillen, Juan Gonzalez. Keep Hunter Renfroe from being the worst contract ever doled out by the team because those two were terrible. I even have a designated hitter, Brandon Moss.
Oh, wow. Brandon Moss is a really good pull by you. Did you make a rotation for this one? I would love to have a rotation.
I have one starter. I do not have a full rotation.
Gilmesh.
It's actually Scott Ellerton.
Oh, Scott Ellerton's a really good one.
Gilmesh would have been on the list, but Gilmesh gave that money back out of the pure kindness of his heart.
No, okay.
That makes never caught me doing that, but good for Gil. Scott Ellerton didn't give the money back, and his ERA was astronomical. That is, or going around the horn, the worst contracts I believe the Royals have doled out in my lifetime.
You know what? I would also like to suggest, Jonathan Sanchez is somebody who certainly came in and finessed the Kansas City Royals for a quick bag. I think he got $7 million for his time with the Kansas City Royals, and certainly didn't live up to his end of the bargain. I'll never forget, a guy hit a home run off of him, and he said it was a good pitch. He got lucky. He hit it into the fountains, brother.
He's a unique case, though, because his bad contract turned into Jeremy Guthrie. Like, there's a net positive. Show me the net positive of Juan Gonzalez's time in Kansas City.
It's a good point.
I can't. Other than the memories we have of those 30 games.
I can't argue that, actually. Can't argue that at all. Thank you for that list today. I appreciate that. I'm glad we did that instead of a random lineup. We might give you a random lineup later, but we needed that to kick off the show today. Coming up on the other side, you know what? I am a little sad that Around the Horn is coming to an end. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am a little sad about the end of Around the Horn. Now, I am 36 years old. I would say that there are some shows that are very fundamental when you are becoming a sports fan. When you were a kid and you're starting to decide what teams you like, what teams you dislike, who your favorite players are, there are certain avenues and ways that you get your information that you find to be entertaining. Around the Horn and PTI were one of those shows for me. So here are the official numbers for for Around the Horn. It premiered November 4th of 2002. So I am a freshman in high school when this show comes out. It has been out for 23 years. They had 4,954 shows. There were 61 different people that went on Around the Horn. The all-time winner was Woody Page. If you guys remember, whenever Around the Horn first started, they would have the little funny board in the back that would let you know, a thought from Woody Page. It was always very fun, very entertaining. So Woody Page has the most wins all time on Around the Horn. Tim Kalashaw is number two. Bill Plaschke is number three. Kevin Blackstone is number four. And number five, Rob, is J.A. Adonde. He's number five on the list. I really loved Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption for this reason. I just like listening to people talk about sports. And I think we have to put ourselves back whenever these shows were introduced. We didn't have all of the platforms and avenues that you do now. We didn't have podcasts in 2002. So if you wanted to hear people talk about sports, your options were sports talk radio, which I was obviously very into as a kid, or they talked about it on television. And now it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But the concept of having two people talk about sports the way that they did on PTI when the show was originally debuted was a mind-blowing concept. Think about how many other shows have simply tried to take the formula that we saw from PTI back in the day. Having two people sit across from each other, they had the ticker on the side that would let you know what they were going to talk about. They usually had one really good guest for 5 good minutes, and you felt like you got everything wrapped up in a very informative and entertaining way, talking about sports in 30 minutes, that would then lead you into the evening sports center. That was a really good capture of what had happened in the day if you had missed anything, and would also get you ready for what was about to come up. We don't really have that avenue as much, at least not one central place anymore. We all get our sports information from different places. Maybe you get it from YouTube. Maybe you get it from this show. Maybe you get it from wherever you get it from. But we all get our sports information from different places. So when PTI was originally introduced, it was a really, really big deal and an innovative concept. And then eventually, they had Around the Horn as a spinoff. They took Stat Boy from PTI, and then he became the host of his very own show. And they would have prominent sports writers from around the country, all who had very different perspectives, and they would let you know what they thought about what was happening for the day, and did so in a very fun, entertaining package. You know, they would give them points. They would take points away. They would mute them. They would get eliminated from the show. At the end of the show, they would get 30 seconds to talk about whatever they wanted to. Around the Horn was just a really fun, innovative, and creative show. It was one of the things that was on my career bucket list. I mean, I never thought I was going to go on Around the Horn, but it was just a fun thing to hope. Man, you know what? At some point in life, I would love to go on Around the Horn. Well, I'll never have the opportunity to go on Around the Horn because they're canceling the show. It does make me sad in a way to see this show leave. We just have PTI. Who knows how long? I don't watch these shows nearly as much as I did. I mean, I work during that time now, where when you were in high school and you were coming home from school, that was like a really good get you into the evening. And again, we didn't have many places to get this information from. So, Rob, we can keep talking about this, but I know you and I are around the same age. I'm really sad about this being the last day of Around the Horn. I'm really sad about what this means for the shows that you and I grew up with. I don't know what's going to happen now with PTI. I mean, I imagine they're going to keep doing it for as long as they can, but you always looked at those two shows as being a block. They were like a package deal. They've been that way for the last 15 years.
It makes me sad, A, for all the nostalgia reasons you laid out, but B, as a consumer of sports programming, I do not like that ESPN is replacing shows like Around the Horn with more, hey, we get people shouting hot takes at each other, and we don't really talk about the games. Around the Horn, PTI, all these shows were fantastic. It was sports talk radio in 30 minutes in television form. It was fantastic. It gave you all the national news and notes you needed. And I remember as a middle schooler and high schooler being like, I wonder if they're going to talk about my local team. Hey, the Royals traded Beltran. Is it going to make the lineup on the right of PTI? I wonder if the Chiefs 9-0 start again, you know, with Trent Green is going to make the bottom line of Around the Horn. Those are exciting moments, but ESPN is making a programming shift, and now shows like First Take are, I think, bad for sports discussion.
I actually don't think so. This is honestly what I think has happened. I think it's a lot of different things, so I'm happy to have this conversation. I don't really think that those shows are any different. What I think made, I guess, early sports talk a lot different is you never ever felt like on PTI that the two people didn't like each other. It never got contentious. It was just two people having a normal conversation that felt very real and organic. I think people's problem with First Take is all the time, it just doesn't feel like genuine, real, authentic conversation. And I think that turns people off. I will say sometimes, and this is just maybe I'm in the media, so I'm more sensitive to this, I think we consider everything a hot take when sometimes it's just a sports opinion. And you don't have to agree with everybody's sports opinion. Part of the beauty of sports is we don't all think the same teams are going to win. We don't all like the same players. Now, I agree with you. In some ways, it has gotten out of control, and there does need to be maybe a shift more towards the middle. But I don't really have a problem with some of the changes with ESPN. I do think eventually the model had to change. The same way we complain about what MTV used to be. Well, you wouldn't watch MTV if it was the same thing that you watched when you were 17. You're going to sit at home all day and watch for music videos? No, you would not do that. The same way I would say for ESPN, you say you want the old SportsCenter back, you would never go back to the television for highlights anymore. You don't need to go to the television for highlights anymore. So I don't mind the sports conversations and the sports discussions that are on there. But I also think another way is the market is just way more saturated in 2025 than it was in 2005. People just get their sports conversations from so many different places, and you don't need to specifically get it from one place the way that you did in the early 2000s.
I agree with that. And I'm probably a little hypersensitive to the, you know, let's take our shots at the media stuff as someone who's in the media. Where I get frustrated, and maybe this is the better way to describe it, is I feel like we have devolved into people screaming at each other, and it's not just sports opinions. Like the other day on First Take, Stephen A. Smith killed off Nolan Richardson. He just said, you know, what would Nolan Richardson be saying from his grave? Nolan Richardson's alive, like very alive. What? You don't do the research on college sports? Me and you talk about things beyond the Royals, Chiefs, KU, K-State, Mizzou on this show. It's part of the job is knowing things like that. you're doing that and you don't know if a guy's dead or alive? How many apologies in the last couple months has First Take had to dole out because they were just incorrect on things? Not bad sports takes, not bad sports opinions, but incorrect things they had to then issue an apology for after the fact. PTI and Around the Horn never had those moments. And in fact, when they did, PTI had a whole segment called What We Got Wrong with Stat Boy, and then Tony Rally parlayed that into the Around the Horn job, which he'd be the first to mute you if you were saying something factually inaccurate. I think what's happened now is we've devolved to just screaming. And not just screaming, you know, hot takes. I agree with you. Sometimes sports opinions are just viewed as hot takes. Me and you have had, quote, hot takes on this show. We don't back them up with nothing stats. I don't say, man, I'm starting to worry about Salvador Perez potentially being washed because he has zero hits this season. No, you say the correct and factual thing, and I feel like we've kind of floated away from that, where PTI and Around the Horn always seem tethered to reality, where First Take nowadays doesn't.
Let me ask you a question. Is that what people want?
I want them to want that.
I asked that question. I would say the shows that people like the most are not the shows that you tell me that people want. People say all the time, oh, we don't want this. Part of My Take is not the kind of show that you guys tell me that you want. And I don't have any problems with Part of My Take. But if you want real, accurate, hard-hitting sports information, is that what Part of My Take is? Pat McAfee is the most popular show in sports media. Is that the kind of show that Pat McAfee is? So I hear people tell me all the time the kind of sports programming that they want, but that's not the kind of sports programming that they actually watch. You might have a lot of complaints about First Take. A lot of people watch First Take. It is a real First Take would not be as big and as popular as it is if it has not growing in the way that it is growing every single day. So I think it all sounds good about what we say, the kind of sports programming that we want, but we're talking about a $1 billion entity. I think they are giving you the content that you gravitate towards and the content that you tell them you want to watch. And I think in some ways, First Take is a reflection of that. I mean, I see the text line. Some of you guys' opinions is not much different than the opinions you tell me you hate on television. They just get paid a lot more money than you do to give that opinion. Fans don't act reasonable and rational, but we expect the commentary to be that they see on television. That's where I think people have a little bit of a double standard about the kind of sports content that they actually want to consume. Do you think that people watch ESPN with the intention of being educated about what's going on? I don't know if they watch ESPN for that. I think ESPN gives you exactly what you want. I think you want the entertainment. I think you want the show of all of it. You and I both love Inside the NBA. They're bad at talking about basketball, like legitimately bad at it. Shaq is not good at it. I love Charles Barkley. One of their most popular bits is him not knowing what team guys are on, and we all look forward to it every single year that he doesn't know. That's your job, to know what team this guy plays for. Again, I just don't think people in actuality, when they get the choice to decide with either their YouTube views or the remote, I don't know if they're picking the informative show. I think they're picking the entertaining show. And I think there are certain metrics to tell us what you are entertained by.
And you know what? I think the better way to say it is I want viewers to want better, because what has happened.
And really quick, I'm sorry to cut this off. Someone says we don't have old style SportsCenter anymore. Yes, you SportsCenter still
internet.
Comes on. No, SportsCenter comes on ESPN2 every morning. Every morning. First Take comes on ESPN, regular SportsCenter with just the highlights. It comes on ESPN2. You have the ability to watch the show if you still want to watch it. If you still want to watch music videos, they still make them. I promise you, they still make music videos. If you want just the highlights, that's what SportsCenter is. They have a 5 o'clock SportsCenter. It comes on at 2.5 hours. You can watch it. I just don't think people are interested in watching SportsCenter anymore. Why do I need to sit around and wait for an hour to see what happened in the game? I can find that very easily on my phone. I think the model for sports and how we consume it had to change eventually.
I agree with things like SportsCenter. Where I get frustrated, and maybe frustrated is a poor term, is that I think shows like First Take highlight one problem I have. We have made the loudest, most polarizing voices the biggest stars. Like right now, what's the strongest take that you can remember from PTI Around the Horn? They weren't black and white, 0 or 100. They were probably in the gray.
you know, didn't always agree with Woody Page, but you knew it was well-rationed and it was a, you know, a middle-of-the-line take. Nowadays, it feels like if you're not screaming the most outlandish thing, either, and it's always around like the same five topics, LeBron is never going to be the greatest player of all time, LeBron is already the greatest player of all time, and then we just scream at each other for 30 minutes. I wish there were more well-reasoned takes. We can disagree. This show disagrees all the time, but I'm never just shouting the most outlandish thing at you just to get clicks and entertainment value. And I worry that's what we are now trending toward.
I'm asking you though, who's the person that doesn't do that? That's really
I don't
popular?
Know that person exists.
And I mean, I'm saying problem. Is in a sports medium that at this point it is you don't have to go through ESPN anymore.
That's true.
You can be on you can be on Fox. You can be on the internet.
I think Nick's show does a okay job of it.
I love Nick. If you don't like the Chiefs or LeBron, I bet you feel the way that people, that way you're talking about, I mean, people feel that. And you guys know I love Nick. Nick's my brother. But I'm guessing if you're a Bills fan, you probably hate Nick.
That's fair.
I'm guessing if you really like Kobe, I'm guessing that Nick isn't one of your favorites for a lot of those same reasons. I'm saying is right now, two people that consume as much, who is the really, really popular non-hot take person that the audience really loves? Is that person?
The answer might be SVP at night. That SVP at night might be the closest we get.
Okay, I'll give you Scott Van Pelt.
SVP is the closest.
Okay.
Now, SVP also is from a very different era of sport. He's not in that Pat McAfee, Big Cat PFT mold. He is a little bit more old school Big J journalism, but that is the closest I have is Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, I'm just saying is if you and I can't put our head together. And, text line, tell me, 913-586-7965. Who is the example of what you guys really want? Doesn't yell, not hot take, strong opinion person. Who is that person? Because is that person popular? Have you guys made that person popular? Because the people that I see get really popular do not fit into that. Not at all, actually, don't fit into that. And I love Scott Van Pelt. Scott Van Pelt, I would say his job has sort of changed before. It changed. I think Scott Van Pelt is perfect at what they are having him do. I think he is a really strong voice at the end of an NBA game, an NBA playoff game, Monday Night Football. He interviews them. Everybody loves Scott Van Pelt. I don't know if that person exists anymore. And if you can't tell me anybody else other than Scott Van Pelt, then I the defense rests, because I can give you 10 people on the other side that are incredibly famous that you guys tell me you hate that kind of media, but we can't find multiple examples of the people that we love that fit that media.
That's a good point. Can I say I wish people would want the content that they say they want, because it's what's that term? People are ultimately make the decision with their dollar. Right now, people say I want X, but with their eyeballs, they're doing Y. So I get that. You're right. You're not wrong. I wish people wanted what they say they wanted.
Text line 913-586-7965. I'm happy to have this conversation. I actually am always down to talk about this conversation. It's one of my favorite things for us to talk about here. I am, again, I'm sad that Around the Horn is leaving. I've always enjoyed Around the Horn. I plan on watching this last episode. They're actually bringing back the original four people that did it. So the original four.
Was Mariotti one of the four? Because they're not bringing Mariotti
No,
back.
The other one. So like Plaschke, J.A. Adonde, Woody Page, they're all doing the final episode of Around the Horn today.
I was trying, I didn't know. I
would love if they would let Jay Mariotti do it. I know why they're not going to let him do it, but I would actually like it if they let him do the last episode.
Whatever happened to Jay Mariotti? You know, I'll just Google it. Let's not talk about Jay Mariotti.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Text line 913-586-7965. Let me know what you guys think about Around the Horn and its last episode. I have a very, very quick NBA thought that I would like to share with you guys. I understand that you guys at times are turned off by the amount of threes that they take in an NBA game. I am also at times very turned off by the amount of threes that they take in an NBA game. Now, some of that is just the way that basketball is shifted and we got to get with the times a little bit, and some of it is very difficult to get around how we were taught to play basketball and the basketball that we grew up on and watch. So I understand how this generation and how they play, it is drastically different than what we are accustomed to. And I think in some ways it has been hard to get accustomed to. I would tell you that there is a basketball player among us that is a throwback to the kind of player that you really like is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. In game two of the Western Conference Finals, he took two threes. He is not a guy that just runs up and down the court and shoots a lot of threes. I love Anthony Edwards. That's who he is at times. I love Jason Tatum. That's who he is at times. I can give you a lot of examples of really good NBA players that they just take a bunch of unnecessary threes and they don't use their athleticism to get in the lane and shoot floaters or get easy shots at the rim. That's kind of how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plays. And I was watching game two, part of me was thinking, I hope that he can be the start of a renaissance. The same way that we look at Steph Curry, and it is clear the effect that Steph Curry has had on basketball. And at this point, you can point to certain players and say, oh, your game was influenced by him. When I look at Trae Young, I can tell that you watched a lot of Steph as a kid. When you watch Caitlin Clark, it is very obvious her style of play and where it came from. I hope that we see a change, and I hope that more kids want to start playing basketball like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I hate the fact that we're arguing and being mad that he shoots so many free throws. You want to know why he shoots so many free throws? Because he's one of the few players that drive to the basket. This might be a shocking development. I know you guys might. This might blow your mind. You have a better chance of shooting free throws if you are driving to the basket, and when contact happens, you get fouled and you get to the free throw line. They don't really call a lot of fouls on jump shots. So if you just stand on the perimeter and shoot a lot of jump shots, you usually are not going to shoot a bunch of free throws. But Jalen Brunson drives to the lane. They call fouls. He shoots free throws. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the exact same thing. So I understand if you guys, I don't want to watch him run up and down the court and shoot threes all day. I get it. I'm telling you what you need to do is watch the Oklahoma City Thunder because they actually don't play that way. It's almost like they have found the time machine in the NBA. They play like it's 2005. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plays like a young Dwayne Wade. It's very, very similar in a lot of ways. That player that you're looking for, that team that you were looking for, I am here to tell you that that player and that team still exist. They're, in fact, still alive in the NBA Finals, and they are the favorite to win the NBA championship. I would highly encourage you to check out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He plays the brand of basketball that I think a lot of people like.
This is connecting two conversations. People say they miss guys driving the lane. They say they miss it. They don't like the amount of threes being taken. They say they hate it. They don't like, you know, the defensive grinded out. They miss the defensive grinded out 85 to 91 games. But the ratings would tell us people like the current NBA. The television viewers would make us think that, oh, this version everyone complains about is popular. It kind of is exactly what we talked about with sports programming on television. People say they want it a certain way, but it's the literal opposite way on the court, and it's going fine. Like, I agree with you. I really like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's game. I think that he was the very deserving MVP. People say they want to see more players like him and the game evolve back, but at the same time, we go out of our way to scream and shout that he's a free throw merchant. It feels like it's the same thing we just talked about. People want one thing, but in reality, they don't, because if it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 18 and the Thunder won 92-88, would people be watching at the level they are now? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really mind how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plays. I just think I think in some ways we have kind of forgotten the puzzle that it usually takes to get to 30 points. Now you got to get 30 points by taking 24 shots and you took 11 threes to get there. That's kind of how Anthony Edwards plays. Or you can do what Shai does. All right, I'm going to take 14 shots in the game. I'm going to get to the free throw line 12 times. I knock down my free throws. I'm pretty efficient from the field. Next thing you know, you look up and I scored 28 points in this game. Like, I don't know if we appreciate efficiency in the way that we did maybe in that like late 2010s where efficiency was like a really, really big deal. It's kind of like strikeouts in baseball. No one cares if you strike out anymore. There was a time where like striking out was like a red mark. You had like the scarlet letter on you when you struck out. That's kind of where I think we like now going 7 for 25 from the field isn't that big of a deal because you hit four threes in the game. Well, wait, Look at all the other missed shots that you took and bad shots that you took. That's why when I watch Shea and I see how efficient he is, how good he is at getting to the basket, how good he is at affecting the tempo of the game, he's just really, really fun to watch. And right now, I mean, I think Jokic is amazing. Jokic is the best big in the NBA. The best guard in the NBA is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander this season, and he's about to lead his team to an NBA championship. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Josh Vernier is going to join us on the show. We got a very important question heading into the weekend. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here, so Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
I got to ask you guys this question. Someone texted this in. CDOT, don't forget that OKC is technically the hometown team, too. Another reason for people around here to tune in. You guys feel that way about Oklahoma City? I mean, I would love it if I really felt like you guys felt that way, that there was a sense of ownership around OKC and we really wanted to see them do well. But the games are blacked out in Kansas City. It's not like they play a preseason game here every year. They give us a regular season game. Oklahoma City is 5.5 hours away from here. You feel a sense of ownership over OKC's success? I mean, I didn't know you guys felt that way about them. I know there was like a push to try to make them the hometown team, but I'm just not seeing it. I don't think it's there. I mean, I would love for it to be there. I would be very, very excited if you guys felt that way about OKC, but I just don't think that's it. I think we have decided who our teams are, and I don't think that OKC is a part of that grouping. Maybe if they had like a really prominent KU player, like let's say if Embiid played for them and he was their best player, maybe you guys would feel that way, or if Wiggins or somebody. But
I mean, Nick Collison's numbers retired in Oklahoma City. They don't care.
Okay.
He got retired for being a good guy, but his number is retired in Oklahoma.
Ultimate team player.
He got retired for being a good guy. Like, that's why he got retired. But if you go to a Thunder game, if you go down to Oklahoma City and you look in the rafters, it shows Nick Collison. So a KU great who has his name and jersey in the rafters in Allen has it at Oklahoma City, and people don't feel that connectivity to the team. They just don't.
I was just curious. Text line. I mean, maybe you guys are telling me something. I don't know. I have tried to watch them at times on NBA TV League Pass, and it's been blacked out. So I didn't know. I wasn't sure. All right. I would like to talk to you guys about this, and we have Vern coming up in just a little bit. You guys know that I have been keeping up with the New Orleans prison escape. Now, we actually don't have any update. There's no breaking news. There's no anything. We are at a little bit of a standstill right now. So for those of you that don't know, there were 10 inmates that escaped. 5 of them have already been caught. So with no update to give you guys, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're heading into a 3-day weekend. I'm guessing a really busy 3-day weekend down in New Orleans. I mean, everybody that they have caught has been in the New Orleans area. It's not like they caught one of them and they were in Arizona. It's not like they caught one of them and they were in Utah. I mean, that's what would have happened if I had been one of these people. I told you guys, if they had caught me, I would have been in the mountains in Montana and I'd look like Sammy Sosa. That's what it would look. That's what would have happened if it was me. But that's not me. So I'm going to set the over-under right now, 1.5. When we all get back to work on Tuesday morning, when you're pulling up your laptop for that first Zoom meeting at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, when you're strolling into the office, when you're getting that cup of coffee Tuesday at 8:15 from your local Starbucks, I'm going to set the over-under at New Orleans inmates arrested at 1.5. Are you taking the over or the under?
I think I'm going to take the over. Yeah, I'm going to take the over. Over is going to be the play, and here's why. It's what you just said. All the people caught have been caught in New Orleans. I don't know. I've never been in New Orleans on Memorial Day. But I imagine New Orleans in a long weekend is going to be a vibe. It's going to be a party.
I'm assuming a lot is going on down there. I haven't been down there during Memorial Day weekend, but I've been down there for other big time weekends. And yeah, that's it.
I also don't know the weather, but let's just assume it's nice because it's more likely than not it's nice in New Orleans. I think these criminals, which have not had the foresight to get out of the area, are going to think to themselves, hey, the heat's finally dying down. I'm going to have myself a time in New Orleans because it's a great time to be in New Orleans. And two of them are going to get popped. One of them's going to be walking around Bourbon Street, and one of them's going to be like a big cookout somewhere in the French Quarter, and we're going to get two popped. Because of their stupidity and the impending party vibes, I'm combining the two things, and I think multiple get caught. So give me the over of 1.5 inmates this weekend.
I mean, if you're doing that, I'm being serious. If your plan is to hang out at Bourbon Street this week, you might as well start walking back to the prison.
One of them took an Uber.
You might as well start walking back to the prison. You think you're going to walk around Bourbon Street, and I know the police presence is going to be high for a couple reasons. There was a terror attack at the very beginning of 2025, and there's fugitives walking around the streets. That doesn't seem very good for tourism right now, that literally murderers escaped from the local jail and are walking around Bourbon Street because some of them were recently caught down here. I know the police are going to be down there. You down there getting a hand grenade? You might as well walk back to the prison. You might as well walk back. Hey, you know what? I've had a fun week. I was free. It's time for me to go back because I'm going to jail. You cannot be down there. You can't. I'm going to go under. I think they get one. Somebody's slipping up this weekend. I don't know who. Somebody is slipping up in New Orleans. I don't think they get two. Now, I think they're catching all of them before June 1. I think next week, this has gone on long enough. All right, we're up in the manpower. We're up in the reward. That's all you got to do. Right now, the reward's like $20,000. Up that bad boy to like 50 or 75. The tips that are going to be coming in. Hey, I saw Tyrone down the street. Tyrone was in the backyard throwing a football around. I'll take you over there for that $50,000, for that $75,000. Once they up the reward, they're going to start getting more leads and more tips.
I just feel like, based on everything we know about the ones who have been caught, you are overestimating their intelligence. Carrington made the story yesterday. One of them took an Uber. One of them called his girl, said, hey, I need an Uber. She got him an Uber. And then immediately the Uber driver was like, oh, that's so-and-so, one of the inmates. Dropped him off and called the police.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
If you are dumb enough to get in an Uber, if you're thinking to yourself, hey, the safest spot is a block away from the prison, then you're probably not thinking rationally. And I'm assuming if you've been free for a week, you're probably dumb enough to think, oh, I'm safe. And there's safety in numbers is probably what you're also thinking if you're that dumb. And you are going to go grab a hand grenade on Bourbon Street. And you're also going to grab new cuffs because you are headed back to prison.
It doesn't even make sense to me. If you're going to get in an Uber, like, you got to have that Uber take you to, like, Baton Rouge. You had this Uber drop you off down the street. You had the Uber pick you up at the Sprint Center and drop you off in the Waldo area? What?
It wasn't even that long. It'd be like if I was like, hey, I need to take an Uber. I'm going to go from Sprint Center basically to Liberty Memorial. I'm safe now.
It's not smart. You're taking the over 1.5.
Taking the over 1.5.
All right, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take, give me one. I think one of them is getting caught Sunday.
I also think the reward.
He not even going to make it to Monday. I think one of them is getting caught by Sunday.
I also think, although the reward right now isn't super lucrative, if one of them's on Bourbon Street, hey, that's free money. That's a free weekend.
Y'all not really serious about catching these dudes if the reward is $20,000. You read the rap sheets on some of these dudes? We got to get these men off the street. This is a danger to the community. Y'all got to get your funding up. I got to get your funding up. 20? No, I'm not doing that. Not at all. They think they out here looking for the people that testified against him. You want me 20? So he could come look for me in 6 years? Absolutely not. No chance. All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, Josh Vernier is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Hunter Renfrow, who has recently been let go by the Kansas City Royals. And they got a very important series this weekend against the Minnesota Twins. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.